Okay, on this beautiful August 5th, 2018 AD, we're going to ask our Deacon Sullivan to open us in prayer, and then we're going to sing to the Lord with all of our breath.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and thank you for your love and for this heat and rain as part of the cycle of life. Lord, we ask that you send the Holy Spirit today to be our teacher and help us discern your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Very good. Well, how about the first song there? I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be safe from mine enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Number three. Come, now is the time to worship. Oh, come, now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Oh, come, one day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Oh, come, now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come, one day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. And then number four. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad, our God reigns, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad, our God reigns. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the pit rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. The heavens declare His righteousness. The people see His glory. For You, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Number 5. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. My God, in Him will I trust. My God, in Him will I trust. Let's see if I can find it here. As the deer panteth for the waters. Is that on here?
Yeah, I don't think that's on this one.
That's not on this one.
What about number 22? I love that. I think that's awesome.
All right. That's a good one. Number 22. Where are you, number 22?
Back page.
There we go. There it is. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, when I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart it rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shut His glories in. When Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart it rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, And now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart, it rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well, needless to say, that song in many ways is not very politically correct, is it? Can you imagine that? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? There have been a number of people in different churches that have wanted to have that change because they didn't want to relate to, gee, you're calling me a worm? You know, that's not very nice. But of course, I reserve the right, and I appreciate, Matt, your singing along with us. That was good. I know there's kind of songs that you may not be familiar with. And I always like to tell people right from the get-go, I have no mandate to be politically correct, and I'm probably not going to be. And of course, I like to be able to share my quips and quotes that I do each week, and also it leads up to what I'm going to share with us today from Scripture. The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. The English statesman G.K. Chesterton said that. Man likes to go back to law instead of love, and control instead of freedom in Christ. If you cannot convince them, confuse them. Our 33rd president, Harry Truman, said that. And Fisher Ames, one of the men who helped in the drafting of the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution Bill of Rights, we are heart and soul friends to freedom of the press. It's, however, the prostituted companion of liberty, and somehow or other, we know not how, its efficient auxiliary. It follows that substance likes its shade, but while a man walks erect, he may observe that his shadow is almost always in the dirt. It corrupts, it deceives, it inflames, it strips virtue of her honors and leads to faction its wildfire and its poisoned arms, and in the end is its own enemy and the usurper's ally. It would be easy to enlarge on its evils. They are in England, they are here, they are everywhere. It's a precious pest, a necessary mischief, and there would be no liberty without it. Of course, as we talk about the press, and also a statement that was made by one, is bribed not to be bribed. That people have been bribed not to be bribed. Think about that. Rich nations that enact big government don't remain rich. On July 29, 1775, the U.S. Army Chaplaincy was founded, making it the second oldest branch of the service after the infantry. The pioneer Methodist bishop Francis Asbury remarked in his journal in 1776, "My present mode of conduct is to read about 100 pages a day, usually to pray in the public 5 times a day. If it were in my power, I would do 1,000 times as much for such a gracious and blessed master." Why property rights matter. Prosperity, stability, and freedom. In 1866, Thomas O. Chisholm, American Methodist pastor, teacher, editor, and poet, was born. Of the 1,200 sacred verses he penned, one later became the popular hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Samuel Adams, known as the father of the American Revolution, 1781, said, "Each that each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is not making a present or a compliment to please an individual, or at least that he ought not to so do, but that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society, for which he is accountable to God and his country. How true that is then, or was then, and how true it is today. People tend to love a powerful government. Quite naturally, a big, powerful government tends to draw into it people with bloated egos, people who think they know more than everyone else and have a little hesitance in coercing their fellow man. Nobel laureate Friedrich Hayek explained why corruption is rife in government. In government, the scum rises to the top. And of course, because we have a government official here today, we want to just remind him of that. Property is no mystery, and it's easily avoidable. The property line that the Census Bureau used in 2016 for a single person was an income of $12,486 that year. For a two-person household, it was $16,072, and for a four-person household, it was $24,755. To beat those poverty thresholds is fairly simple. Here's the roadmap. Complete high school, get a job, any kind of job, get married before having children, and be a law-abiding citizen. What is needed in this country right now is a reawakening in the culture regarding the humanity of the preborn. And that's why Maryland County Councilman Michael Anthony Peruca, who I know very well, is sponsoring Resolution 30-18 in the Anne Arundel County Council. Knowledge without action is useless. America's hyper-political culture is not healthy. Neither is it functional. As America is torn into opposing factions, the division destroys our government's ability to carry out its God-given purpose, for God instituted government as his instrument of justice, and where government fails, injustice grows. Learn how to turn chumps into champs. God did not call me to be popular, rather God called me to be faithful. Listen, being faithful to Christ can be problematic, because especially as our culture turns from God more and more, we're placed in situations that counter mainstream philosophies. Thomas Paine, one of our founding fathers, virtue is persecuted more by the wicked than it is loved by the good. An avidity to punish is always dangerous to liberty. It leads men to stretch, to misinterpret, and to misapply even the best of laws. He that would make his own liberty secure must guard even his enemy from oppression. For if he violates his duty, he establishes a precedent that will reach to himself. And Dr. Thomas Sowell, who I like very much, he's an elderly black man and a professor at George Mason University. What's your fair share of what someone else has worked for? Every good preacher is trying to have you hold up a mirror to look at yourself. And I hope I'm good preacher and I'm holding up the mirror and looking myself in it to know what kind of a person I am. In the first chapter of 1 Peter, and we're going to be looking at that, there's a call to live a life that is holy because you call on the Father who judges impartially. The call to you would be to do as he does. The code of conduct for United States judges calls for honesty, integrity, impartiality, temperament, and fitness or service as a judge is impaired. Your service as one who claims identification with Jesus Christ ought to hold those same tenets. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Be holy because I am holy." As part of that same holiness, strive today to be impartial as he is impartial when you begin to judge others. And of course, how appropriate that statement is for today, being that we are looking at the nomination and the confirmation of the latest Supreme Court judge, Judge Kavanaugh. You know, whether we like him or we don't like him, it's hard to say, but of course that the issue is not whether we like him or we don't like him, and what kind of a judge he would be according to the righteousness of the real judge. I also want to mention to you something I found this week, and it was Newsmax actually reported it. The top 50 movies celebrating American values. And of course, the question today is, what are American values? What are our first principles, you might say? And Newsweek selected these films as the top 50 movies celebrating American values to show what's good about our nation and our way of life. It's a Wonderful Life, High Noon, Saving Private Ryan, Flag of Our Fathers, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, To Kill a Mockingbird, 12 Angry Men, Patton, The Best of Our Lives, Field of Dreams, The Patriot, Pride of the Yankees, The Alamo, American Sniper, An American Tale, Apollo 13, Avalon, Cheaper by the Dozen, Dances with Wolves, Driving Miss Daisy, Drums Along the Mohawk, Father of the Bride, Forrest Gump, 42, Gettysburg, God's Not Dead, Good Will Hunting, Hacksaw Ridge, Hoosiers, I Remember Mama, Jeremiah Johnson, Newt Rockne, All-American, Let There Be Light, Lilies of the Field, Little Women, Miracles from Heaven, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, Places in the Heart, The Revenant, Rudy, Sands of Iwo Jima, Sergeant York, Shane, Tucker, The Man in His Dream, Stagecoach, Stand and Deliver, Tender Mercies, The Trip to Bountiful, True Grit, The Yearling, and let's see, that number 50 is The Yearling. Well, the amazing thing is I have seen every single one of those movies. No wonder I'm the way I am. You see, I've been influenced by Hollywood. Yes.
Of
the entire
list, I've only seen Patton, Edgar, Forrest Gump, American Sniper,
American Dale.
It's gonna get a longer list. Let's keep going.
Well,
also Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, that was a great movie. Also, I received the publication of Hillsdale College, The Imprimis, over 3,800,000 readers monthly, and one of their visiting professors, Edward J. Erler, wrote an article here, Does Diversity Really Unite Us? Citizenship and Immigration. Of course, these are all questions that are going on right now of what is fair, what is right, and whatever. And basically, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's lengthy. If you're interested, you can find it online, the Imprimis, Hillsdale College, which is a very fine school, and you can find them, hillsdale.edu. The American people can, of course, consent to allow others to join the compact that created the American nation, but they have the sovereign right to specify the terms and conditions for granting entry and the qualifications for citizenship. Now, the liberal left, if you will, if we call them that, or the progressives, or different terminology that's used, would certainly not agree with that, because they'd say, well, we're not a sovereign nation, we don't have sovereign borders, but we have. And of course, he mentions in there to join the compact that created the American nation. What was that compact? Whether it was the original compact, the Mayflower Compact, or whether we're talking about the compact of the Declaration of American Independence and our Bill of Rights and our Constitution or Articles of Confederation, all of those were compact, or what could be described more or less as a contract A compact is a contract. And of course, for us to be able to, as a sovereign nation, to say who can come in and who can't, is just the same as saying, okay, my house is sovereign, this is my castle, I can say who comes in and who doesn't. Right? It's not like anybody can come in whenever they want to and they can do whatever they want. Like go to the refrigerator and steal all my food. That would really start trouble. Okay. My attempt at humor is always not very great. But I try anyway. Okay, I want you to turn with me two passages of Scripture. The first one you'll find in Deuteronomy chapter 30. So, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Chapter 30, looking at two verses there, and reading them from the English Standard Version. Actually, we'll look at verse 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. And, of course, that's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, reading verse 20 as well. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. It's also interesting that that verse of Scripture in John Winthrop's message, City on the Hill, which was on the ship Arabella, he mentioned this verse also, that that was a quintessential vision for America starting. I call heaven and earth to witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, what? Choose life, that you and your offspring may live. And though I'm not going to preach on that subject necessarily today, it's worth making note of it for you for your own personal study. Now I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter, Hebrews, James, Peter, John. John, Jude, and Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 1. And there are 25 verses in that chapter. So, would you be willing to read that? We get to you. You don't have to, but.
And where do we start?
We're in 1 Peter, chapter 1.
And what we're going to. We're going to each read five verses?
Yeah.
So we each read five, and where do you want to end up? Your last?
I'll do the last five. Okay. And we'll start with Mrs. Lear on my left.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kathy.
1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 from the English Standard Version. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 from the English Standard Version.
And continuing 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 10 from the English Standard Version. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. That was 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 10.
I'm reading from the New Standard Version, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 11 through 16. Inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of the Christ and the subsequent glories, it was revealed to them that they were saving not themselves, but you, and the things that you have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things unto which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your mind for action and being sober-minded, set you hopefully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conform to the passion of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall not be holy, for I am holy. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 through 16.
Oh, King James. So.
Oh, you want that one? Yeah. Sometimes we have different ones, and we just roll with it. You got the new King James. Starting at 18.
What is it?
Verse 17. I'm sorry, Sean. Starting at verse 17.
16?
Right. So, Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown for the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. Peter chapter 1, 16 through 21.
Okay, great. Now I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to the end of the chapter 25. From the English Standard Version. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, though through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower fails or falls. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that we preach to you. I've just read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, mentioning, of course, the last verse there in 25, where it says, and this word is the good news. And, of course, the good news in the Greek would be the evangel. That's evangelization. In other words, we're bringing the good news. And Lord knows in this day and age we can certainly use some good news. Now, I've kind of set as a topic, you might say, that I'm taking from the scripture here, too hard to do. Too hard to do. So keep that in the context as we're looking at a variety of things in this chapter, and there's much there to look at. And of course, I would like to remind you that we read from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, which is very closely resembling, for example, "You shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially." Now this is, and I read to you what the qualifications for a judge is, or the qualifications are. One of them, of course, would be judges who are impartial. I mean, they can have their own personal beliefs, but the impartiality is that whoever comes before them, they try the facts instead of being politically correct or, you know, wanting to just please a certain population, but the impartial judge. Can we promise that any judge in any courtroom is going to be impartial? I can't promise you that, and I've been before lots of judges for a variety of different reasons, and I can definitely say many of them were not impartial. They were very partial, and they were had it in for me before I even walked in the door. Or many of them did not try the facts as they should, did not receive the evidence as they should because they had another agenda. But the impartial judge, when we go before God's throne of grace, but whatever, he's not going to make a mistake because he's the impartial judge. And of course, when he asks us to be holy, for I am holy, I mean, that's the part you can say that's hard to do. It's very hard to do. Well, why would the Lord ask us to do something that's hard to do? Or maybe even more emphatic, why would the Lord ask us to do something that's impossible to do? When you ask somebody to do something that's impossible, that's a fool's errand or an improbability or something that it's not going to happen. Why would you ask somebody to do something that can't be done? Well, the Lord is not asking us to do something that can't be done. He's asking us to do something that can be done, but he's promising to help us to do it. And that's very important. When you look at the first part of the chapter, where it says there, verse 2, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you." The metaphors, if you will, of the scripture, it's making grace and peace like substances. And of course, if I said to somebody, "Okay, you've got silver and gold, may it be multiplied to you," what would that conjure up in your mind? That you would have gotten a quantity of silver and a quantity of gold, and now because it's going to be multiplied to you, you're going to have more than what you started with. Well, part of the answer to too hard to do, as a lot of people look at it, the things the Lord asks us to do are too hard to do because we're not recognizing the fact that the Lord provides the grace and the peace. And of course, the issue of peace is peace, the absence of conflict. In many ways, peace is not the absence of conflict. The absence of conflict, peace is the result of handling conflict in a godly way. I mean, we can look at what's going on in our country right now, what's going on in the world. It was just reported to me that an event that was held in Rhode Island was turned out to be such a horrible thing because the Antifa showed up and they just totally ripped the whole place up. The police had to be called and surround the people who were innocent, so to speak, and protect them because it was such a bad situation. So we read about things like that and we say, it's not a peaceful time we're living in. But then again, look at the history of the world. When was a peaceful time? Was it a peaceful time when Jesus was born? No. It was a very dark time when Jesus was born. Let's just say the light of the Lord came into the world with the birth of Christ, but it was a very dark time. Some people would say, well, it's darker now than it was then. I don't know that we can really say that. So we look at also verse 8, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And so being guarded by a power. And when we think to ourselves, we're on our own, nobody's helping us, we've got to make it on our own, that is a very selfish kind of idolatry. No, you're not going to make it on your own. Nobody is. The only way you're going to make it is with the help of the Lord and the grace that He's provided you. The various trials. What are the various trials? If necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. There are grievous things that happen to us. And I can certainly say that as I've gone through a number of things over the last few years that was pretty grievous. But I can honestly say that through that whole process of all this stuff I've gone through, the Lord has been with me, He's helped me, and because He's helped me and helped me develop greater compassion for other people that are suffering and going through things, He's provided the grace and the peace for that. And of course, would I want to see, and I've said it, I wouldn't want to see my worst enemy go through some of the things that I've gone through, but the thing is, it's made me a better person. Because these various trials, just like lifting weights, and I had the occasion to look at a Facebook page of somebody I haven't seen in a long time, and I knew him as a child, is on there, and I can see he has definitely been pumping iron. I mean, I can see he's a welder now, and I saw his biceps and everything. You can see he's been going through the various trials of trying to build muscle. And what are you going to do that? You've got to exercise. You don't build muscle by sitting there looking at pictures of people with muscles. That'd be pretty easy, wouldn't it? Look at people that make money and work hard by just looking at their picture would do something for us. No, it's not the way that it goes. And of course, some of the things that I mentioned, rich nations that enact big government don't remain rich. Well, why is that? Because people start taking things for granted and expect, they look to government for everything. And of course, that in itself is contrary to what we're being taught. And recently somebody ripped down the Ten Commandments memorial in Arkansas, and he claimed that he did it. He claimed he was a Christian, but he heard voices that told him to take it down. You know, demonic voices. So, I mean, there's a spiritual battle going on out there. And you can't win the spiritual battle with physical things. You know, it's like saying, okay, in the physical battle, you know, you win the battle or you win the war by having better armaments, better munitions, better equipment than the enemy does. But in the spiritual battle, you can only win because you have the grace and peace that the Lord provides for you, and you have what the Holy Spirit does in guiding you. And it's interesting, too, that this morning when I found out this thing about the Rhode Island thing and something else, I was thankful that I didn't just immediately say, sure, I'll be part of that. That I prayed and the Holy Spirit was giving me a no-go. That's a no-go. Now, most people would overcome that and just say, well, I'm going to do it because I want to. But what I want to do is I want to be holy as the Lord is holy, because He said, you shall be holy for I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially. Have any of us had a father that was impartial? My father was not impartial. He couldn't be. As a father, have I been impartial? No, I tried to be as fair and honest with my children as possible, but human frailty, what it is. But the Lord has no human frailty. He's He's impartial because he's the righteous judge. And we can be sure that he will be judging. Now, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, in verse 7. That's interesting because we know that to get the impurities out of gold or get the impurities out of silver, there has to be put intense heat. And of course, I'm always reminded when I talk about that of how heat and pressure on a lump of coal turns it into what? A diamond. A diamond is produced by intense heat and intense pressure on coal. You take a lump of coal, and so, in a sense, when we come to the Lord, we're just a lump of coal. But under intense heat and pressure, he can take this lump of coal life that I am and turn me into a diamond. And the thing about a diamond, even before it's cut, is diamonds are very pretty. I mean, the light that shines through them, and they're all different. It's very beautiful. People are willing to live and die for them. What's going on in the Congo right now, because the Congo has gold and the Congo has silver and diamonds and all this kind of stuff. All the battle between one group and a faction and another to get a hold of the gold and get a hold of the diamonds, because they think that's going to solve their problems. But of course, that's not the way that problems are solved. It's also interesting as we look in the chapter around verse 12. It's been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you, the good news, the gospel, the evangel, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. That there's preaching, and then there's preaching by the Holy Spirit. And of course, as I said, about holding the mirror up in front of our faces to look and see what kind of a person that we are. And I'm not talking about what we look at physically, but looking at ourselves, saying, okay, this is the Lord's mirror. Look at yourself and see how much you're like the Lord. Most people say, don't bother trying because it's never going to happen. Well, why has the Lord said that it should happen if it can't? Is it too hard to do? Or is it just that it's being done the wrong way? And I can say that as somebody who's fixed a lot of things, and Kathy and I were discussing the other day, how did I know to do that? How did I know? Because I prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, how do I do this? And he showed me the simple way of doing something, the right way of doing something. Because there's been many times when I haven't prayed, when I haven't been really open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I messed things up because I wasn't doing it the right way. There is a right way, there is a wrong way. And of course, people today, that's not politically correct, is it? They say, there is no right way, there is no wrong way. You know, there is a way of one sort or another, and we all do it things differently. But the truth of the matter is, there is a right way and there is a wrong way, and the Lord is the one that would tell us that. And of course, as I quoted G.K. Chesterton, who is an author, a poet, and a very strong Roman Catholic in England, which not that many Roman Catholics in England at his time, he said, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. And so that's in keeping with what we're saying, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And most people say, well, don't bother because it can't happen. But just like what G.K. Chesterton is saying there, that's the Christian ideal, to be like Jesus. It's not that it's been tried and found wanting. It's just simply has been found difficult and left untried. I really appreciate certain people who say, you know what, that's going to be very difficult, but let's try. It's going to be difficult, but let's do it. I mean, that positive kind of outlook, and I've pretty much been that kind of person. and appreciated others were like that too, instead of saying, no, we can't do that, it can't be done, whatever. Yes, it can be done, because you think about, for example, of the founding of this country, it can't be done. People can't cross the ocean in the middle of winter storms and start a new country. People can't rebel against their own government, of the British government, the most powerful government on the history of the world at the time. You can't rebel against them and be successful. But what happened? We rebelled against our own government, the government of England, Great Britain, and we were successful. Not because of our own ingenuity, because the very theme, which so often that I say, we'll have no other king but King Jesus, because it was recognized that it was idolatry to trust in yourself more than you would trust in God. And lots of people do that. They trust in the arm of flesh. Hey, I'm so strong, I can beat anyone. You know, or I'm so wealthy, I can buy anything. Or I'm so smart, I can outthink anybody. But all those things become not the way the Lord wants. And man likes to go back to law instead of love, and control instead of freedom in Christ. And I have to say that myself, I could be a really wicked tyrant if I didn't understand more of the things that the Lord wants from us. So all these allegories. Therefore, verse 13, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the word revelation, where we get the word reveal from it, and of course, revelation, the book of Revelation, is actually the apocalyptos, which is the clearing up. So basically what we're saying is, or what the scriptures are telling us, we're being prepared, our minds are being prepared for action. And how is that going to be? It says, set your hope fully and being sober-minded, whatever sober-minded means. And I don't think that's just a matter of saying we're not supposed to walk around being drunk. I mean, it's more than that. Sober-minded, being, think clearly about things. And there are a lot of things that I recognize in my own life that cloud my thinking. And sometimes I have to stop and say, okay, Lord, I need to listen better to you. I need to clear my mind of all this other stuff that's going on to make, you know, the priorities right. And then the Lord says, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, things to come. The revelation of Jesus Christ in his fullness has not come yet. That would be the second coming of Christ, or the rapture of the church, or all these other things that are not so easy theologically or even intellectually to understand. You just have to trust that the Lord is. We know the Lord's going to do it because he's promised it. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. And I think about the things that I was passionately involved with at various times in my life that I'm not so passionate about anymore. But one thing I am absolutely passionate about is I want to be holy, as the Lord says, called you is, for he who has called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. Now that's a real kicker, isn't it? In all your conduct, not in some of your conduct. Gee, and we're really surprised by all these different people in government that that have done these terrible things and so forth. Constantly here in New Hampshire, just recently. One of the leaders in the Senate, actually the highest leader in the Senate on the Democratic side, or Democrat side, just got arrested for multiple counts of domestic violence and bit somebody, kicked a door in, all this other stuff. And he's a state senator making laws, you know, to govern the rest of us, right? And he can't even govern himself. And there's a perfect example. We have people that are in leadership that shouldn't be leading at all because they don't know how to follow. You can't be a true leader until you've learned to follow Christ. And I make that statement because I certainly have been trained in leadership in the military, and trained in leadership in religion, trained in leadership in a lot of stuff. But you can't be truly a leader like Christ unless you're willing to follow Christ. So important. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially, when we call on, we say, okay, dear Lord, or how we'd say that, we come before, as Hebrews 4:16 says, come before the throne of grace in our time of need, on a personal basis, saying, oh God, you know, but having no personal relationship there, but calling on Father, saying, you know, like, I never resisted calling my father. There were times I called my father on the phone to ask him something or get help with something. I mean, I figured he's my father, I can call him. You know, he didn't ever say, what are you calling me for? He said, what am I calling you? He never did say that. But if he did say to me, what are you calling me for? Because you're my father, that's why. Well, it's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. He'd say, why are you calling on me? Because you're Abba. That Greek word Abba means basically loving Father. We have a loving Heavenly Father, but don't be deceived by it. Just the same as the judge in the court may be a loving person, it may be a very kind person, so forth and so on, but he's going to say, look, I can show you mercy, but I have to judge you. I have to pronounce a judgment on you. And most of us can't even judge ourselves. That's why we're being told, don't be the judge of others. Let the Lord take care of that. And that's been hard for me to do, and the Lord's helped me in that area. But the beautiful poetic aspect of the last part of the chapter, all flesh is grass, like grass, and all is glory, like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls. I brought some flowers in and handed them to my wife today. They're not going to last that long. Eventually the petals will fall off and so forth and so on. The beauty of the moment, handing her the flowers and seeing the look on her face. But those flowers will fail. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And of course, as we read about Pioneer Methodist Bishop Francis Asbury, who was commanded to go back to England at the time of the War for American Independence and refused to do so, he said he wanted to read 100 pages a day, usually to pray in public 5 times a day. If it were in my power, I would do 1,000 times as much for such a gracious and blessed master. Just the same as when you love your father, and I certainly love my father, I wanted to do whatever I could to please him and help him in whatever ways, and I didn't wait to be told that. A lot of times I'd find ways to help my dad. And our Heavenly Father has given us his word. It's perfectly trustworthy. So it's worth knowing it. And the problem is with many people, they don't know it. They've heard it quoted by somebody else. They've heard maybe some sermon, but they don't actually know it themselves because they haven't studied it for themselves. I want to read a little poem here. I always like that. And the name of this poem is But God. I know not, but God knows. O blessed rest from fear. All my unfolding future days to him are plain and clear. Each anxious, puzzled query, why, from doubt or dread that grows, finds answers in the happy thought, I know not, but God knows. I cannot, but God can. O balm for all my care, the burden that I drop, his hand will I lift and bear. Though eagle pinions tire, I walk where once I ran. This is my strength to know I cannot, but God can. I see not, but God sees. O all-sufficient light, my dark and hidden away, to him is always bright. My strained and peering eyes may close in a restful ease, and in peace may sweetly sleep. I see not, but God does. And I mentioned about the song. I'm going to sing it as we close today. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Now these are the verses that we have not heard before. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. Well, Father God, we do call upon you as the impartial judge in a time where there's a lot of judging going on, false reports all over, political correctness that's enough to make anyone sick to their stomach. But we can put our complete trust in you. We can put our complete love in you. We can also rely on your word that is totally true. And Lord, we do pray for our president who's under great attack. You've told us to pray for our president. And of course, our vice president and all the things that are going on right now across the country. We do pray for peace. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as you've asked us to pray. And we do pray in these hearings about the confirmation of judges, and we may have another judge to very soon retire as well, that the judges that we get are the judges that we need, and they will be impartial in their judgment and judge fairly and honestly. And these things we pray in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God.